Amen. 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 And we just invite you to two passages of scripture that people have been talking about during this season over and over and over. The first is in Isaiah. And we've talked about this in Isaiah. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And then in the book of Luke, we said, and the angels, Luke 2, verses 10 through 15. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away, from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord have made known unto us."
Yes.
And we just want you to hear all of what God says in his word. The best is yet to come.
Yes.
The best is yet to come. Too often when we live as we live and do as we do in this human body and with our natural mind and natural eyesight, we only see what's in front of us. We often only see what has transpired, and we call that history. And we see what's currently transpiring, and we call that the present. But oftentimes we're taught in so many situations that the future is unknown. However, I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters. If you know Jesus Christ, just say, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters in Christ that know the Lord. We don't just deal with the history and the present. The Lord has told us the future. And oftentimes we need to understand that it's in the future where we rest and hold on to. It's in the future where the promises and the prophecies of God help us to stay on track. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm talking to somebody, because if it was not for the future, you would have given up on the past. Did we not hear a testimony this morning that based on the past, I thought it would not happen? And based on the present, it wasn't really great. But based on the future, my God is turning some things around. Oh, didn't y'all hear that? The way I never thought I would have a relationship. Now God is still doing something. I come to tell you, that's not a surprise. That's not a surprise, because the best is yet to come. Somebody, because of what God has said in the future.
Yes.
Somebody said, well, they asked the question in that song, Mary, did you know?
My God.
Did you know that your baby would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby would one day give sight to the blind? Did you know that your baby? No, Mary didn't know. She didn't know the specifics, but Mary knew. She knew that the baby that she gave birth to, the baby that was born, was special in a way that had never been done before. So she knew how special. She didn't know the details. And that was okay. You know why? Because Mary trusted that the specialness of her baby could do anything. Mary trusted that the specialness of her baby could accomplish things that nobody had ever seen before. Mary knew that if it did it in her, it could do it in any. Oh, somebody listen.
My God.
So Mary didn't know the details, but Mary knew that there was a future.
Yes.
So Mary, did you know? So today, some of us don't know the future.
My God.
When they start talking about all this stuff in 2020, our first round, well, it'll just be a few months. Oh, we only got a few months and we're going to, that's what we told ourselves. Now, you don't have to confess it if you don't want to, but I know many of us say it'll just be a few months, but after a few months, it began to be a few more months. And after a few more months, and then all of a sudden, you'll be seeing us here how things have changed. Oh, I can go to history now. People say I'm sick and tired of being locked up. And I'm sick and tired of not being able to go to my favorite restaurant. I'm sick and tired that my business is failing. I'm sick and tired that I can't put my arms around. So I'm sick and tired. So guess what? I'm going to do it anyhow.
Mercy, Lord.
That sound familiar?
Oh,
you don't know, but if we Bible students, we ought to know this. What the children of Israel were sick and tired. They say, oh, Moses, you've been gone too long. We in isolation. Somebody doesn't read the Bible now. We sick and tired. He took too long in isolation. He took too long to talk to God. So we got to take things into our own hands. Any Bible readers in here? Any Bible readers in here? Y'all know the story.
Go ahead.
They got so upset by themselves. They got so alone by themselves that they start doing all these things against God.
My Lord.
Yeah. We're just like them. Well, I'd never be like the children of Israel. Oh, yeah, we just like them. Self-centered, self-focused, hard-headed, don't want to surrender. That's just what they didn't have the patience. But thanks be to God that we are different than them. Because we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. So thank you, Lord God. The best is yet to come. Mm. Well, preacher, how can you say the best is yet to come when I'm sitting here and I'm sick? How can you say the best is yet to come when I've lost relative after relative? How can you say the best is yet to come when it appears that I might not have a house or I might not have food? How can you say the best is yet to come when I've lost my business? How can you say the best is yet to come when my relationship has fallen apart? How can you say the best is yet to come when my children are acting a hot mess? How can you say the best is yet to come when the church won't meet? How can you say the best is yet to come when the churches are fussing and fighting? How can you say the best is yet to come when we've seen the worst that we've ever seen in the political? How can you say the best is yet to come? Because Mary knew. Because of this day that we celebrate, the best is yet to come. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. Well, first, I want you to understand what the best is. What is the best? The best is excelling over all other things. What is the best? What is the best? The best is what? The most productive of good. So offering or producing the greatest advantage, the greatest utility, or the greatest satisfaction. What is the best? It's the greatest degree of good or excellent. That's the best. That's the best. Well, how do you know it's the best? Because it's Jesus, y'all. I'm just letting you in. But this case, you don't like the word best. Let me give you a synonym. It's an array. It's an array, and when we look at the array, it means the finest adorned. It's the finest display of flowers. It's the finest array of gathering of clothes. It's the finest finery that you can have, the best china. It's the best food. It's the best meal you ever made. It's a full dress. We're not rehearsing and practicing. We're waiting on the full dress.
My God.
The spectacular view, the star performance, it's the best. It's the subdued. We put away that which is not good. What? For the best. It's the prevail. It's the prevailing thing that goes. Oh, I don't know what word fits you best, but I know to go that God fills them all.
Yes.
It's the best. We have not seen the finest array of Jesus yet. Oh, y'all need to understand. We have not seen the finery that we're going to see yet. We have not seen the full dress rehearsal. We've been getting bits and pieces. We've been getting situations. But I come to tell you, there will come a day that we will have the full dress rehearsal. Oh, you can't see it down here. You can't see it down here. Only John saw it. John saw it. So I saw the new heaven and new earth. We haven't seen it yet. But there comes a day when we will be with Jesus. And we will see the full dress rehearsal. We will see the golden. We will see the glory. And we will see the splendor of our master's face.
Yes.
He will prevail. That's the best. That's the best. The best is yet to come. Well, just a couple points and we're going to be up out of here today. A couple things. The best is yet to come that we see. So today here in Luke, we see some things. We see some things in Luke. We see some things and say, well, it's the best, right? We see it here in Luke. Verses 9 through 11. Look what we see. Look what she saw. Look what it said. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were what? They were afraid. Uh-oh. They were afraid because they saw something that wasn't normal. How many of us are afraid because we see some things that are not normal? Well, let me tell you. He said, and the angel said unto them, fear not. Fear not what? For behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. Talking to the shepherds who were keeping tending over the flock. This day. For to you this day is born the city. A savior, which is Christ the Lord. Look what he said. I'm bringing you a savior. I let you know that the savior is here. Then he had to remind them, and that's why we go back to Isaiah, because they knew their history lesson, y'all. They knew their history lesson, that in Isaiah said, uh-oh, look at what's going to happen. The history of the past said, look, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and what? The government shall be upon his shoulder.
Yes.
He gonna carry the world. He gonna carry it all on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, for the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government, peace shall be, there should be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it. He gonna be in control, y'all, to establish it. With judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. He said, look, Isaiah said it. That's the history. Here it is today.
Yes.
Did we not just celebrate the birth of Christ? Oh, I know you didn't just celebrate the gifts that you bought. I know you bought one for yourself. I know you. Maybe you didn't get one, but we celebrate Jesus Christ.
Yes.
All that other stuff is the blessing that he allows us to have. But we celebrate the birth, the gift that would change the world, the gift that would what? Put the world on his shoulder, the gift that his government will be above the Republicans, and the gift that is the ruler of everything.
Yes.
But can I tell you the secret? That ain't even the best. That's just what we saw.
My God.
Somebody will say, well, but that is the best. You know, it's about the birth. It's about the birth. No, the birth is not always the best. The birth, even his death, let me jump ahead. That was not even the best. The best is even beyond that. But that's the best that we can see and that we understand. But you don't have to believe me. Look at what the word said. The word tells us some things. Word, the best is yet to come. What? Because John said in 14, John 14, Jesus, when he was talking to them, he gave them some instructions. He talked about the best. He wanted them to see. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, then believe in me. He said, well, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, we had fast-forwarded for 30-some years. Jesus was a baby born in this season. Now he's grown. He's about to lead them. He's done all that we've seen in the middle. He said, boy, I go to my Father's house. Where there's, if it were, I would have told you. I go what? To prepare a place for you.
My Lord.
The best is yet to come. Said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Uh-oh, there's a promise about the future. That means the best is yet to come.
Yes.
Why? When he leaves us, that means we're going to feel sorry. Say, don't worry. I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. We know the story. We know how to talk in tongues. We know how to follow the Holy Ghost. But that ain't the best yet. That ain't the best. That's just where we are. Go to chapter 16. And in verse 25, he gave them another set of instructions. He said, look, these things have I spoken in you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. There's going to be a time where you're not just going to see me, but I'm going to show you plainly of the Father. You know what that means? That means one day we're going to see the Father. That means the best is yet to come.
Yes.
Amen.
The best is yet to come. If you don't believe that, go to chapter 17 and verse 24. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that ye may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation. The best is yet to come. Jesus, before he left here, prayed to the Father that these that we and they that he gave them, that we would be with him, what? So they could see the Father. That meant when he said, I go to prepare a place in chapter 14 and 17, he prayed to the Father, yes, Lord, I want them to see your glory.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
My God, my God.
That means there's something yet to come. That means the best is still yet to come. I don't care about the trials and tribulations. I don't care about all the victories. I don't care about his peace. We're going to behold the glory of God like we never have before. And that means the best is yet to come, but we don't see it because we like to know what's right here in front of us. I like to feel, touch, and understand, but we are never going to see it until our numbers are. Thank you, Sister Jerry, when you read Ecclesiastes. Because guess what? That teaches us that we ought not fear death because there's a time, and I'm not afraid because when my time comes, that means my glory time comes, that I'm going to be closer to seeing the best that God has to be. I'm going to be closer to seeing the fall. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needs to understand that the best is yet to come.
Yes.
Yet to come. Is yet to be seen, is yet to be seen, yet to be seen. We know a lot of stuff, we see a lot of stuff, y'all. We experience a lot of stuff, y'all. God is gracious and forthright, and he allows us to see his healing, and that's not the best yet. He allows us to see his peace, and that's not the best yet. He allows us to see lives change and from death to living, and that's not the best, y'all. He allows us to see that, guess what? He can make millions out of pennies, and that's not the best, y'all. He allows us to see that even though we think we are not loved by anybody, somebody comes to my rescue, and somebody comes and they bring me food, but that's not the best. Y'all, he allows us to see that I once was lost and now I'm found and I've got salvation, but that's not the best, y'all. The best is yet to come. If you don't believe me, go to Galatians, and when you look in chapter 4 and go to verses 4-7, you'll see he begins to say, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, the time that God knew he needed to redeem us, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Said God had to have Jesus born. God was going to have Jesus die so that he could pay the price. And because ye are sons of God, because Jesus was born, and we celebrate that now, in a few more months, we'll celebrate his death, because Jesus fulfilled all that he had to. He made us what? Sons. He adopted us. He said, so to redeem them that were under the law, that we might what? Receive the adoption of sons. Oh, that's a good thing. He adopted us, y'all. He didn't say, I know you. I own you. He adopted us, y'all. And because he adopted us, that made it better. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because he adopted us, y'all. He was born and he died and he left us. He adopted us, y'all. Now we call him Abba, Father, instead of just, that's God, or just that's who he is, or just that we can call him Abba, Father. We go from Jesus to any other name, but we also say Abba, Father, like Jesus called the Father. He said, Father, Father. He didn't call him no other name, but Father, now I can call him Father, because Jesus called him Father, and Jesus died for me, because he died and got up for me. I now have the same rights as Jesus, so I can do the same thing Jesus did, and say, oh, Abba, Father, I thank you. And then in verse 7, it said, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The best is yet to come. Because, see, there's some things that the heir has that we ain't seen yet. There's some things that Jesus knows and Jesus knew that we ain't seen yet. And I come to tell you, that's why the best is yet to come. Jesus left heaven. He knew what it was all about. He came down to this raggedy world that was been polluted because of our disobedience. He said, I got to clean it up because it's not doing what it should do. I got to straighten it up because they go in their own wicked way. I got to make a way for those who desire to see me to come see me. But more importantly, I want them to see the Father. And when they see the Father, then they will see the best, because my Father was better than me. My Father sent me so that I can tell you how good he is.
Say on, preacher.
Now, if you don't believe me, you don't believe me. God loved us so much that he started showing some folks a few things, a little something, something, a little something, something that could keep us focused. And I come to tell you today that you need to remember what he showed us, because what happens is when we don't see the best yet, we get a little tired. When we don't see the best, we get a little weird. Oh, we're tired of the same old stuff. I know Jesus saved me. I know Jesus healed me. I still don't feel like going. I know he did that. I still don't want to talk to that person. I know what God did. I'm saved. And guess what? He can't take it back. And we get lured into a false confidence. And that false confidence allows us to get a little tired and weary. But if we truly walk in the love that God has for us, then we will know that we want nobody to be without the love of Jesus, because it's been just that good to me. But somewhere along the line, it gets covered up. But when Jesus has been that good to you, I don't care what color, I don't care what nationality, you want somebody else to know about it. Just go ask John the Baptist. John the Baptist and say, hey, I don't care. Just come on out here and I'll tell you about Jesus. Come on out here. I'll tell you about the one who is to come. But first, you got to repent and be baptized so that you're ready. Oh, come on out here. Let me turn over the soil in your life. See, if you know that you're heir to the throne, you ought to be turning over some stones that somebody else can be an heir to the throne. Somebody else would know they can be adopted. Somebody else would know that they're loved. Somebody else would know that there's a way. Somebody else would know that there's food. Somebody else would know that there's money. Somebody else would know that there's shelter. Somebody else would know that they're not alone. Did not you hear the testimony? Hey, she just started crying because somebody came to her rescue.
Amen.
Oh, it wasn't the best, prettiest thing. It wasn't the most organized thing. But the love that was shared to help somebody was a magnificent thing.
Yes, Lord.
Before I show you Revelations, look at what it says in Galatians. If you go to Galatians and you read the fifth chapter, you're going to get down to something that's going to blow your mind. We talk about it, but do we really understand it? We talk about it. You quote, yep, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is not just to say it's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is to be lived. And so if you're living by the fruit of the Spirit, it will shake you up. It will change you up. And I need to know that you know that Mary's baby knew all about what this is going to be, because the fruit of the Spirit said, what, you will love somebody. That's what Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit brings joy, and that's what Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit brings peace, and that's what Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit said, there'll be some long suffering. That means you can get through this, that, and the other. The fruit of the Spirit said, what, there's some gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit said, what, there's some goodness. The fruit of the Spirit said, there's some faith. And if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, then the fruit of the Spirit is in you. And we need to walk in it and stop giving up so early.
My God. My God.
We look beyond what we see. The best is yet to come. When you didn't have some of this in you, God adds a little bit at a time. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, when you have a recipe, there's a way that things need to be added to get the perfection. And I'll tell you about that when I end and close today. But he said there's the fruit of the Spirit. But then if you want to know that the best is yet to come, is yet to be seen, look at what John said in Revelation. In Revelation, in chapter 21, he said a few things. And he started in the beginning. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And that was a good thing. And he said, what? And in this place, that God said, he'll wipe away all tears. And that was a good thing. And then he said, but wait a minute. He said, I saw in verse 22, I saw a temple. I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in the temple of it. He said, we didn't have a house like we see down here. We didn't have a red brick building like we see down here. This temple was so big that it didn't have no wall. Hey, somebody, you're going to get that. And the city had no need for the sun or neither the moon to shine in it. My for God, the glory of God, God, the light that's on the inside, the glory of God shine right about it. The sun couldn't outshine the glory of God. The moon couldn't outshine the glory of God. So we don't need a sun and a moon like we do down here. Just imagine that you can see the glory of God. That would be the brightest thing. That's why the best is still yet to come. He said, I saw this thing, and I saw this thing. It didn't need it. He said, God didn't light it, and the Lamb and the light there, and the nations there, which were what I say, shall walk in the light, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it to yield to the Lamb. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by the day, for there will be no night there. Say, anytime you want to come in, that's going to be the best that's yet to come. Just come right on in. There is no nighttime. There is no darkness. You my ain't got to be afraid. God. Somebody missing that because you are the light. Don't you ever be afraid or nothing, because the light will always overcome the darkness.
Thank you, Lord.
So they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations, and there shall be in no wise entering. If anything that defileth, say, guess what? The evil can't follow you there. The evil can't get there. The evil can't be with you there. You're going to leave all that stuff behind. Yeah, it caused you a little pain down here. Yeah, it, the chaff tried to attach it. I told him in Sunday school, when you talk about the wheat and the chaff that grow together, the chaff had these little prickly things that stick all over you. And if you're not properly covered up, they hurt. I mean, they hurt. And they'll bring you to tears. But when God separated, there shall be no more hurt. And then we go to chapter 22. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, my God, my God. Say, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Because Mary's baby was born in a manger, because Mary's baby had an immaculate conception, because Mary's baby was on his purpose, because Mary's baby did what he was supposed to do, say, the prophecy of this book will be fulfilled. Then you go to verses 12 and 13 and look at what God says. He said, he that is unjust, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as he shall be. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's what my God said. And then in verse 17, he just wraps it up and said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let them that hear say, come. And he that has a thirst, come. And whatsoever will, let him take what the water of life. Whosoever will, let him come, because the best is yet to come.
My God, my God.
That's what the word says. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. So I hope that I've changed your attitude today, that you can see the best is yet to come. You got a new song that maybe you didn't know about, but there's a song out there that said, when I see Jesus, hey, 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 amen. When I see Jesus, I just say, hey, 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 amen. When I see Jesus, the man who set me free. When I see Jesus, the man who died for me. When I see Jesus, all I can say is, hey, 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 amen. Because that means that I would have beheld the glory of the Father. I would have beheld the glory of the King. I would have beheld Mary's baby who was born in a manger, who died on a tree, got up out of a grave, and didn't go wait for me. I would have beheld that he came back, that he came to get me. I would have beheld that he didn't cast me away, because I swear I would have beheld.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let me make this plain in a little story. Real quick story, quick story, quick story, quick story, quick story, quick story. During this season, a lot of people cook a lot of different things. We got recipes that have been passed down throughout our heritage. We got new things that we look up and try. What most people fail to understand is when they follow a recipe, they just put it in and follow it and expect it to come out. The challenge with that is that if you don't know what every ingredient does in the recipe, you don't fully appreciate the power of what the recipe brings to the table. So let me give you an example. I bake a pound cake, and it's a good cake.
Amen.
But what I've come to understand is because of the ingredients that are put together and understanding the ingredients of putting together, I have never made a bad cake. So go ahead. Somebody say, "Y'all, Pastor, you know some of those things don't." Absolutely. When I look at it in my natural eye, it might fall. It might be overcooked, a little dark. It might be undercooked. It might look a little thick on the inside. But one thing I can testify to you today, that if I get beyond the way it looks and I taste it, it has always tasted the right way. It might be as fluffy. It might be too dense. It might have a little burn on this side, but the taste is good. Why? Because the ingredients that go into making the cake are designed to work together. When I put the butter in, it has a purpose. When I put the sugar and the flour, they have a purpose. When I put a little vanilla and I put a little whipping cream in it, it has a purpose. But the other thing that happens is the power of the Almighty got to stir it up. And if I stir it up, sometimes I get all the lumps out. I stir it up. Sometimes I don't get all the lumps out, but that doesn't ruin the taste. Somebody gonna get this. Jesus came that he might say, no matter what happens to you, no matter how you look on the outside, I put the ingredient on the inside. And when the ingredient is on me, it's got to taste good. That's why the word of God said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not your friend, not your mama or your daddy, not your job, not your bank account, but it's God. So no matter what anybody see, the best is yet to come. Why? Because God sees what he puts on the inside of you. He sees that the egg's going to make everything stick together. He may see that the sugar going to give you a sweet spirit. He sees that the flour is the stability that holds all things together. He said, but just so that you have a little, I'm going to give you some extra fluffy butter so that it just smooth out your rough edges. He said, not yet. I'm not done yet. I'm adding a little whipping cream so that I make sure that I can fluff you up a little bit more. And that's the power of the Holy. But then he said, I put my name on you because my spirit's on the inside. No matter what anybody might think, if they don't like the thickness, guess what? They won't see because they only see me. If they don't like the density, that's all right. They won't see because they see me. If they don't like vanilla and they won't live it, don't worry. They taste me and I'll change it to what they like. He said, but that's what God does. And that's why, y'all, the best is yet to come. 2020's been a year, and it's on its way out. 2021 is on its way in, but it can be 2091 and 2191 and 22, but the best is yet to come when Jesus comes back. And we need to keep remembering that. The best is yet to come, so I'll love even harder. The best is yet to come, so I'll serve even longer. The best is yet to come, so I'll complain less and less. The best is yet to come, so I'll praise more and more. The best is yet to come. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that Jesus is good. Oh, taste and see how much he loves you. Oh, taste and see how much he cares. Oh, taste and see that he sacrificed his son that you can call him our Father. Oh, taste and see that he's coming with a new heaven and a new earth. Oh, taste and see that my God, the Lord Jesus, has placed the Spirit and he comes for whosoever. Oh, taste and see.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
When the storms of life are raging, try Jesus. He stands.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Somebody, if you don't know Jesus,
try Glory Jesus. To your name, Jesus.
For those who know Jesus and you're well anchored and you're well centered, the best is yet to come. Don't think what you see is it. Because this ain't it. The best is still yet to come. Don't give up on nobody, because the best is yet to come. Don't abandon anybody. Don't make declarations that put us a line in the sand. The best is still yet to come. It might take a long time for some, longer than it took for you, but the best is yet to come. Because yet on somebody's deathbed, before they give up their last breath, they can still have the best. That's the God that we serve. So the best is yet to come. The things that we have not seen yet, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2020 has been a good year, Destiny. It ain't been a bad year.
Amen.
I may just share the truth with you. More Amen. People have attended Bible study with us this year. More people have attended Sunday school this year than ever have before since I've been here. So how can I say it's been a bad year? I know all the things have affected us, but you've been hearing the word. You've been studying the word. You've been sharing the word. That's a good thing. The best is yet to come. The best will be when we go out and be like John the Baptist and we tell a sincere girl, repent of your sins and give it over to God and turn away from them and watch how God draws them. And that means more people will come to Bible study and more people will come to Sunday school and more people will proclaim the word and more people will tell one another about what thus saith the Lord, which means more people will say, Abba Father. And as more people shout Abba Father, then we'll know that when we get to heaven, there'll be the celestial choir that'll continue to grow. Didn't you hear in the word, if you study beyond verses 9 through 11 in the book of Luke in the second chapter, say he was joined by the celestial choir. The angels came down and joined them in giving praise to God. You need to know that the angels join you when you praise. You need to know that you're not a choir of one, but you've got the heavenly host.
My God.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise, Lord God.
Yes.
For the truth is, it's not getting worse, Lord. It's getting better.
Yes, Lord.
The best is yet to come.